The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Amen. Good morning, Jefferson. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed here in the heartbeat of, or in the heart of, Jefferson, downtown Reading. All right, we just want to welcome everybody on board and let you know the two cohorts that I have normally here are off having vacation dates or something, drinking mimosas somewhere, doing something fun. All right, Terry and Janet, have fun doing whatever it is you're doing. And then I have a special guest here. I have Lori Jones and her husband, Patrick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Good.
It's a good weekend.
It is. Before we jump into it, I want to announce the Strawberry Festival today, going from 10 to 4 today. So it's out in Happy Valley, West Cottonwood, out at the high school at West Valley High School. I was trying to say Happy Gas High, but it just wasn't going to work. So go out to the high school and have a good time out there and support the people that are putting it on and enjoy yourself and have some strawberries. They've got some good stuff out there and see all the other things that are going on out there. Okay, that was my shameless plug, and it was bad at best. All right, Patrick, what's up? What did we have going on yesterday?
Well, I did have a town hall meeting yesterday, and it worked out really well in that we have our new ROV for Shasta County, and that's our county clerk, Register of Voters, Clint Curtis, and he's settled into town now. He's moved in. He's got his house, and then we had Dr. Frank that just happened to be in town, so I thought, well, let's get these two together. They have worked together many times in different areas, different states, different projects, all related to elections.
Right.
And so we had a town hall where both of them were able to speak. And I think, it was most helpful for Clint Curtis because he's kind of laying out the program that he would like to do, which is all about transparency. And that's what's been lacking for so long,
right?
For decades in that office. And I took more of an interest in the last few years from what we've seen after 2020. I think a lot of us woke up to we've seen some things that mathematically should not happen. Mm-hmm. Guys like Clint Curtis and Dr. Frank, they've been working on this longer, much longer. And so we've kind of come late to the program, but we don't have fair elections in the United States, and in most counties, all but just a handful of counties throughout the United States, over 3,400 counties, all use one of three software systems. It's all proprietary. They're all made in China, and they're all roughly the same, and you cannot look at the code. You can't look at the source code or touch them. If you do, you'll end up like Tina Peters, and you'll be in jail. that's insanity that you're paying millions of dollars for a system that you can't verify. So you have to trust what's in there. And that's what's been happening.
Trust, but don't verify. That's exactly what they're telling you.
Right. Well, you can't. It's illegal.
Right.
And
illegal.
That's what they've done. and they'll make an example out of you just like they did Tina Peters.
Right.
And so, and that's why when I was chair of the board in 2023, one of the very first things I did, was to make a motion and put it on the agenda to, get rid of electronic voting machines. And we did that. And of course, our ROV and assistant ROV, so Kathy Allen and Joanna Franciscott, quickly went down to Sacramento behind the board's back and they lobbied an assembly member, and they did an assembly bill, AB 969, and all of a sudden eliminates our ability to hand count. That's what we had in that office. And so now we have a new ROV, Clint Curtis, completely opposite, that's going to be able to verify. We're going to have chain of custody, and people here he's going to engage the public.
And you always open it up for public comment and for questions and see where it goes. And whoever is in charge of a certain office or a process, if you will, is forced to answer the question. And it was really well done yesterday because every question got answered. You may not like some of the answers, but it was the truth. And all the way through, they were answering questions. And you get down to the end of the wire, they're like, okay, there are no more questions being asked. So everything was exhausted as far as answering all the questions. The only question I had was, I wanted to ask, but I didn't. Toward the end, I thought about it. It's like when you're talking about the $15,000 a month for the current ROV location, it's a rental.
Mm-hmm.
We own the courthouse. Why can't we not move them over to the courthouse and not pay $15,000 a month for rent? We could put that $15,000 a month into improvements, into services, into whatever at that location. Why can we not, or why hasn't that been done?
Yeah, and so I had an interest in the old courthouse. Obviously, it's now the property as the Superior Court left.
Mm-hmm.
That building then became property of Shasta County.
So Shasta County owns it outright?
Yes, and it's 77,000 square feet. It's built in two different segments, one in the 50s, one in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I did finally get a walkthrough with the new ROV, and was pleasantly surprised at how much space is in the annex portion, and it would allow for a transparent election. And the county, unfortunately, thinks otherwise. Now, because of the age of the building, there is...
When you say the county, who are you talking about?
Well, Public Works, for example, they feel that the building, because it has asbestos, that it's not advisable to use it, so therefore spend $7 million, tear it down, and put a parking lot.
Well, if you don't disrupt the asbestos, there's no harm.
Correct. And so they're not being quite honest.
Right.
If you don't take any major construction, basically put, you know, carpet and paint, there is no environmental issues.
Right.
And
you cover it up, there's no issue.
And so you can use it. We have used the building for 65,
how many years?
75 years, right?
Now all of a sudden they're concerned.
So all of a sudden now, so they're not being quite straightforward there. And I think there's always stuff behind the scenes that you're not seeing as to why
mm-hmm.
they're going to attempt to destroy that building instead of using it. Now,
how much would it cost to destroy it?
Well, it's $7 million to...
$18 million?
Well, no, it was $7 million to demo it and to put a parking lot there. So they're going to spend $7 million, and they're going to lose a 77,000-square-foot building. To me, that makes zero sense. I'm disappointed with the board for not... Now,
wow.
I will say that Supervisor Kellstrom was the lone holdout on that, and so the board has already voted 4-1 to demo the building. Now, it's not too late to maybe change some minds. But when you take a look at not just the elections office, that's one that we know of, right? That we know that it's $15,000 a month, but there are many buildings downtown that the county leases, and a lot of those organizations would want to come to the old courthouse. I've already talked to several.
Okay.
In fact, one organization would love to have one of the courtrooms for mock trials for younger folks to engage in. And again, we don't have to do anything to it. It's already done. You don't have to. Everything is still there.
Right.
And so it's a very useful building. They're making a big mistake. Now, who would not want that building to be filled and to save money?
Right.
I mean, we're spending probably, I would say, over $1 million a year on leases downtown. I'm going to be looking into exactly what buildings we're leasing, how much we're leasing them for, and who are we leasing them from. I will be doing an analysis on that, and we'll get to the bottom of that. Now, I suspect, this is my gut feeling, and it's usually correct, in that a lot of those building owners don't want their leases to end with the county.
Of course not.
And
I
suspect there's some pressure being applied in certain places. They know that we are going to own this building and that we could end quite a few leases, maybe not all of them downtown, but some. The elections office is one good example. $15,000 a month with very poor space. It won't work to have a transparent election. The courthouse, the old courthouse, would. So that alone is worth
everything.
Keeping that going just for that function. I've talked to Health and Human Services. They would like to be there. I think probation, there's lots of uses for that building, so it is a mistake. Public Works has recommended three different options, and the most the option that they pushed the most was to demolish everything. My recommendation is to keep the courthouse, demolish the old jail that is there. I did a walkthrough on that, which I've never had a walkthrough on that old jail. Most people don't know that it exists, but it's to the north side and towards the back. And it was built in 1939, and it's heavily dilapidated. I wish we could save it. It's a cool old building. But unfortunately, due to its condition and the space that's inside is not terribly conducive for much of anything other than maybe storage.
So who was responsible for making sure that thing didn't fall apart?
Yeah, well, it was I'm not sure who. It's just because it hasn't been used in a long time. I don't know when they stopped using it, but it did become, you know, when you're not using a building, it deteriorates quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
And that one hasn't been used for a long time, so it's deteriorated, advanced deterioration. Mm-hmm. But by tearing that down, as much as I would not like to, it would allow for enough parking to then help the courthouse and the functions there in the courthouse, because it's a decent space right there.
Okay.
Most people don't know that there's about, I think, 12 or 13 parking spaces in front of that jail now.
Okay.
That the sheriff's department is using, and that could be expanded when that old jail is gone. And I actually believe that the back side of the courthouse would be the entrance, would be the front door to the elections department.
Gotcha.
With some remodeling there, you could get probably another 6 or 8 parking spots, and that would be the front, and it could work out really well. So I was very impressed with the building. I had asked for a walkthrough when I was on the board, and they stalled and stalled until I was off the board. And then I asked our new ROV, hey, let's do a walkthrough on that, and he got me a walkthrough. And it was kind of obvious they really didn't want me to take a look at that building. But, I've been in that building many, many times over the course of my life, and I had already kind of an idea of how that building would be. Now, you can make excuses that, oh, the HVAC needs repair, and we can make excuses that it won't work, but it would save the county a lot of money. So my recommendation to the board, and I'll be putting some pressure on others, is to not demo it. Let's take a new look at it. I'm super disappointed that some environmental guys went in there, and they probably did about $40,000 of damage of knocking holes in walls and different things to do their environmental tests that the county just paid for. Those environmental guys were told that, hey, you don't have to be general on the building because we're going to tear it down anyways. And that was not a decision that the board had made. That was somebody in Public Works or somebody in the CEO's office or somebody in council's office making such a statement that was not true. So disappointed with that. We'll probably be talking about that a little bit more. But whether they keep the courthouse or not, the existing ROV office is not going to work. The new ROV is pretty adamant that space, open, big open space, so everybody can witness, watch, take part of your elections is what's necessary to restore trust. And these are the concerns that I had with Kathy Allen and Joanna Franciscott. I had several meetings with them late 2022, and I asked those very questions. How are you going to restore trust? And into early 2023, how are you going to restore trust? People are losing trust with our elections. We're not able to watch things. And Kathy Allen's remark to me was, it's not my responsibility to do so. And that is a false statement. That is not correct. That is your job. And she deliberately pushed the public away, which then how does that make you feel? For example, in this last election, I was down there many different days observing, seeing things that were election violations. For one, for example, Joanna Franciscott had gals, maybe some men, but from where I could see, because I could only see a little bit, it was mostly gals, maybe 5 or 6 gals in the break room. counting and marking. I could see the mark on some ballots with, and they would not let any observers enter that area.
So they're in a break room marking ballots, and they don't have any witnesses.
Well, they're handling ballots and occasionally marking on them. I can see that they're marking on something. I can see they're handling ballots, and no observation. That's an election law violation. You can't do that. Now, I'm not saying anything nefarious is happening because I can't see it. But you
can't say that they're doing okay.
But
either.
I can't say that they're doing it correctly because right. they're violating an election law. There's not meaningful observation. I should be able to see every ballot, every mark on those ballots. That's right. how you establish that. And I, you know, when you go down there to the elections office, especially during the election cycle, we had ballots in this room and ballots in that room, ballots in the break room, ballots over here. We had over 200,000 ballots all over the place, and I don't think anybody could decipher what was happening, where it was happening, what was supposed to be happening, and we were not allowed to have meaningful observation at every point.
Okay, wait. Back up to the 200,000 ballots when we only have 117,000 voters in Shasta County.
Yeah, and so it's over 200,000 ballots because what ended up happening, they did their accuracy and logic test. And again, this is Joanna Franciscott doing the accuracy and logic test. And again, they kept us far away. I complained to Chair Cry that I can't see. You're putting me at 20 feet away. I cannot see mm-hmm. what's going on.
Right.
They said everything went well. And so that's kind of a mock election, if you will, to make sure that everything goes through the Canon electronic scanners and their DR2140Gs, a pretty common scanner. And so they do the accuracy logic test, and they order up the ballots, and they ship them out, and then half the ballots come back, and they won't scan. So what happened to the accuracy and logic test? How come you said it went well, it went fine, and now literally half of Shasta County ballots would not scan for whatever reason? So they call up Runbeck. This is the company that's been under investigation many times out of mm-hmm. Maricopa County, Arizona.
Of course.
That's who we purchased these ballots from, which I believe our new ROV is going to end wow. that, which is going to be substantial.
Yep.
Not being able to print your own ballots is absolutely crazy for the size of a county that we are.
Right.
And so I think that's going to stop. And so Runbeck said, well, we have a fix for this. So they came in with another electronic scanning machine and another 100,000 ballots. So we're approaching now 250,000 ballots in this county. And then I watched the best that I could. They had four duplication stations. I could only see duplication station number four. And so Runbeck would take an electronic image. They would scan the ballot that did not scan, essentially. Right. And then from that, they would make an electronic image of that ballot, not a mirror image, an electronic duplication. And then when I was watching, they were missing, either deliberately or by accident, entire marks on the ballot. And but, not just one or two ballots, but we're talking every other ballot was missing marks that the voter had marked on their official ballot that was not being scanned over.
So then it's not duplication, because if you duplicate something, you're copying it in its entirety.
Correct.
So they're being selective on what they're duplicating on these ballots.
They're missing marks that the voter made. Now, this now is a corrupted ballot.
Right.
What it is. And this happened
by a corrupted individual.
This happened over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to one of the county workers, deputy CEO, in fact, she said, well, it's just the light marks they're not picking up. Well,
deputy CEO,
Erin Bertain.
Oh, okay.
And so she was in that processing room at the time. That was the only person that I actually knew well. And I said, that's not true. I said, I've been sitting here watching and it's missing all the light marks and completely filled in marks. It's missing those on occasion too. I've been watching it.
Wow.
And now I'm only being able to look through a window. At one station, duplication station number four, I can't see duplication station one, two, and three. So I have no idea what's going on those. So this was in the morning on election day, and so I came back there in the afternoon, but this time I brought our CEO at about 1:30 in the afternoon on election day. I wanted him to see what I saw so that I'm not just saying something and having it, nobody else is, collaborating that. And so Me and him sat by that same window in the afternoon, and within a few minutes, he's going, nope, there, you're right, there's another miss, there's another one, and we saw six in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
And so this occurred as well, and I have no idea if these issues were done deliberately, because we're still far enough away, I can't recognize a pattern.
Right.
I can't see if they're deliberately removing somebody specifically, or if it's random, I can't tell. And that's where, if I had meaningful observation, then I could put that to rest. Yeah, I could say, okay, it's random, it's not done specifically to hurt candidate X, mm-hmm. or issue Y. And that's all under the assistant ROV that has had 17 years of experience, that is supposed, Ellen probably have gotten awards too. I'm sure they've gotten awards. And, this was absolutely the worst election cycle that I have ever seen. And I've, you know, I've been running for office since 2002. And so I've been poking my head in the ROV's office many times.
Right.
And this was the worst of the worst. And the more we watched, the more we could see more problems. And
you weren't the only one seeing problems.
No, we had over.
You had a bunch of people in there witnessing things.
Well, in fact, there was a lawsuit because of this performance, and illegal actions. Citizens have come forward to sue the county, rightfully so. Every issue, that they saw, they put down on their writ. And, I saw stuff, and I have a signed affidavit in there as well to the things that I saw.
Right.
They're 100% truthful. And 50 people came forward to sign their name on that, saying,
so what happened with this?
Well, right now, that suit, I think it's called the Shasta 5, I believe, has sued the county and Tom Toller as the ROV. Now, Tom Toller's not there. We have a new ROV that had nothing to do
right.
with that.
It was the office that did it prior to.
Right, yeah. His office. Now, my recommendation to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors is to concede and concede now. And they won't do that on the advice of counsel, which is a mistake. Right now, everything in that writ is true and correct. They're not asking for monetary damages. They're not asking for their attorney fees. They're not asking for any money whatsoever. They're asking to have the ROV follow the law. So that should be a no-brainer.
Oh my gosh.
The county, on the other hand, is going to defend this case. They have already hired, I'm sure, BB&K. And I'm sure Christopher Pisano will be marking his tally sheet for hours and hours of work already done.
$700 to $900 an hour. Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
And they will defend this. And they may very well win or not. But in the end, they're suing. They're attacking members of our community.
Right.
And wasting taxpayers' money.
All on the advice of legal counsel, the counsel that advises the board of supervisors.
Well, it's ultimately the board. The board does not have to take the advice of the counsel. I often did not.
Right.
I don't agree with county counsel on many issues. But this is one where they need to concede and not attack the public for things that did occur. And they're not asking. All they're asking is follow the law.
Right.
Follow the law. Concede, it costs the county nothing, and they should follow the law. We have to follow the law.
Right.
But the last ROV did not follow the law. And so this is an interesting case. Right now, the board has the opportunity to stop this before it gets any further. We'll see what ends up happening on that. But my name is on one of those signed affidavits too.
Right.
For things that I saw that absolutely, and the CEO saw it too. And it wasn't just people in the break room, but, in the electronic scanning room, we could only see partially one electronic scanner. I couldn't see the other three. And then no chain of custody. And so when the county workers would grab a batch of ballots, say about 100, and so they grab, you know, it's about an inch or so thick,
mm-hmm.
and it could be 92, it could be 104, but they grab a batch like that and they run it through. But they never marked down the time, the date, the batch, and the number of ballots to do an audit with what the state shows. And so when the Secretary of State posts number, you know, batch number 191, it showed one ballot from the state, but when we had our people there watching, it was 94. And again, they don't typically run one ballot through at a time. It's typically stacks of around 100. In this case, batch number 191, it was 94.
Okay.
And so their audit failed, but yet they never historically write that information down, so there's no way to prove or disprove what the state is saying.
Right.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just basic stuff.
Okay. Well, we're going to go off to a break here, and caller, please hold on. We'll talk to you when we get back from our 30-minute break, and we'll be right back at you.
30 minutes.
I was just out of the service thumbing through the classifieds when an ad that said old Chevy somehow caught my eye. The lady didn't know the year or even if it ran, but I had that $1,000 in my hand. It was way back in the corner of this old ramshackle barn, with 30 years of dust and dirt on that green army tarp. And when I pulled the cover off, it took away my breath. What she called a Chevy was a 66 Corvette. I felt a little guilty as I counted out the bills. What a thrill I got when I sat behind the wheel. I opened up the glove box and that's when I found the note.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Experience glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone, up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit, yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots, I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay, I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid. Hey, I'm steady. Hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost.
Amen. We're going to do our duty. And Memorial Day weekend is proof of that, right?
Yeah, and wanted to encourage people for tomorrow, so Monday, 11 o'clock, get there actually probably a half hour early, and that's to the IGO Veterans Cemetery on mm-hmm. Clear Creek Road. They have a great service there, and lots of good people. I think they'll have a flyover, and it's a day to remember. And so that's tomorrow, 11 a.m. at the IGO Veterans Cemetery. It's we'd like to see as many people show up and have a great crowd.
Absolutely, thank you. Hey, Patrick, can you you have a fundraiser coming up on Thursday, correct?
I do. Yeah, no. In fact, it's filling up quickly. We have a few tables left and a few tickets left, and so most people know that I've been working on a shooting range for Northern California, Shasta County, for quite some time, most of my life, in fact, and finally was able to purchase a piece of property, do a lot of environmental work, worked with the county, eventually got it before the Shasta County Planning Commission, and then the board approved it, changed the zone.
Both of them approved it?
Both approved.
Okay.
And then a few neighbors got together, hired a CEQA attorney to sue me, and we went to court, and I did not prevail in that, unfortunately, because the judge, which was Judge Ben Hanna, did not follow California environmental quality law. And that's unfortunate, but under a mitigated negative declaration, if two opposing experts disagree, that forces a full EIR, which is an environmental impact.
So then you have to pay for that again?
Yes, so I have to pay for
it. So you're paying for a second EIR?
Yeah, I mean, we did a lot of environmental work, not necessarily an EIR, but we did what's called a mitigated negative declaration, and we did tons of surveys. I had, traffic studies, acoustic studies, water delineation. I have Army Corps of Engineer approval and so forth. And so we did a ton of work. We'll beef up some of these surveys and be back before the board.
And those all still stand, right? Even with the EIR coming in?
Yeah. So none of that is, and the judge didn't argue on the merits of the case. He just simply said, under the fair argument clause, that if two opposing experts disagree, that forces an EIR. However, under California environmental law, CEQA, you must base your evidence, an expert must base their evidence on fact.
Right.
You can't speculate. And so what their expert did was said, I might have a spade foot tote. Now, that's speculative.
Right. You might have some.
You might have a burrowing owl. You might have bats in those five trees. You might have nests for raptors somewhere along your property. You might. That's all speculation, and it's not allowed under CEQA. Now, if you said, I have a spadefoot toad, and here's a picture of a spadefoot toad, that's fact.
Right.
And that forces an EIR.
Gotcha.
Their expert never came to Shasta County, never even made an effort to. Everything that they did was completely speculative, and it should have been thrown out.
Wow.
And I should have easily won. But instead, Judge Ben Hanna decided to go with their expert and agree with their expert, even though every instance was not based on fact. So that's unfortunate. So I could have appealed it to appellate court in Sacramento, but they tend to be very liberal and mm-hmm. probably not supportive of a gun range in general.
Right.
And again, we've already seen in the Superior Court where they didn't follow CEQA law, and they may not follow it at the appellate court either. I expect people to follow the law, but they did it.
Yeah.
So we'll beef up that. I already have my biologist back out doing surveys. We'll be doing them throughout the course of the year and probably into spring of next year, and then back to the board for approval, and then we'll move it. But these things do take
money.
Some money.
Some
and,
money.
And I've been saving and working hard, and so I've been able to pay for everything up to this point, but now is the time where I could use some help, and so we're doing this first fundraiser. And so it's coming up very quickly here this Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and that frees up your weekend, and I know we have graduations and things that are going on.
Right.
So it's Thursday night at Anderson VFW. That's 3210 West Center Street.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 4. Dinner's at 6. We've got lots of gun giveaways, a live auction, which Supervisor Kelstrom is going to be the auctioneer, and I'll be emceeing that as well. And I'll give a description and talk a little bit about the range, where we're at, where we're going. And so while we've had a setback, it's just one lost battle in the war to
right.
be able to have a properly permitted range, not only for the public, but for law enforcement. And so it'll set us back a little bit of time and money, but it's still something very doable. And I'm getting really good support right now. We've got a lot of tables sold already.
Okay.
We're close to being sold out, but I can still take more, a few more. And And some people said, hey, I'm out of town that day, and they've been making donations. So
awesome.
Really good community support. And again, I would have liked to have done it all on my own.
Right.
And I have all these years being able to purchase the property, do the environmental stuff. I've spent over $500,000 of my own money to
right.
this point. And I've had, you know, just really good support. And this fundraiser is going to be a lot of fun. Rockin' Pete's doing the tri-tip and chicken.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to eat well. We're going to have a great time. We're going to give away a lot of fun stuff. And
it's always entertaining at these fundraisers.
Got some neat neat guns to give away.
All right.
And you know,
well,
and
so you can also purchase tickets down at Jones Fort.
Yeah, there
and,
you go.
Or you also can call at 530-222-3223. So that's 530-222-3223, and they'll be back in shop on Tuesday because
yeah.
we're off for Memorial Day.
We're off
there
Monday, but yeah, and even if you can't come in, you can call in and we can write up a ticket for you,
right?
And that way we know that you're
and
there.
And they can they can do will call where they can pay for it at the door once they get there too.
They
as well,
could.
Right?
It's better not just. And the only reason I say, I mean, we can do that.
So you can have the head count.
So we know exactly. We don't want to run out of food.
Right.
We
right.
want to make sure that we have all that you know taken care of.
Right.
So it's best to call me in advance. Call me Tuesday or Wednesday, get you in there, we know. And that way we can cut it off if we get excessive.
Right.
The other great thing about the Anderson VFW, you've got great parking, and they have a brand-new AC system in
that's
there.
That's right.
Compliments of Shasta County. So
that's right.
We're going to be nice and cool. We're going to have a great time.
That'll be a first.
And that is a first in that building, and we really wanted that. And, you know, I would have used the Reading VFW, but there is a parking issue there.
Right.
And I've been trying to solve that. The railroad owns the land next to it, but we have not been able to work a deal out to make that public parking there. And
right.
so otherwise I would have done it here in Reading. I like the VFW buildings, and they've been very gracious and worked well with us over the years.
Right.
And so May 29th coming up, and tickets available. You can give me a call, Patrick Jones at Jones's Fort, and come on out, have a great time, and support you know shooting sports and the Second Amendment.
All right, there you go. Okay, well, we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Stones. How's it going?
Hey, wow, good morning, everybody. Well, yesterday was just a phenomenal day with Clint Curtis and Dr. Frank, and a couple quick announcements and then a couple of election matters. Quickly for Patrick, he was mentioning the lawsuit in court on elections. That would be the Ladd versus Taller lawsuit. That's the correct name of the lawsuit that's currently in the courts. And I'm giving a rain safety officer class, NRA certified rain safety officer class. It's May 31st. It's all day in Cottonwood. I've donated two seats to Patrick's event, a $250 value. So for anybody that wants to put that on their calendar and bid for that this coming Thursday, you will be certified rain safety officer through NRA. Just go to the website, nra.org, I believe, and you can sign up online. And if you win the auction, you will pay nothing, obviously, because it's a donation from me. So, and then another quick announcement is we're doing well with our elections petition. The state average, hourly average for signature gathering is about 4 signatures per hour. We are getting 8 to 10 per hour. It is amazing, the public support. Yesterday we were at the Strawberry Festival outside of the perimeter in the adjacent parking lot for about an hour, and we were getting 20 signatures per hour. People
wow.
want this very badly.
Wow.
And then about 9 a.m., Joanna Francesca, if anybody knows who she is, she comes up and says, hi, how you doing, all nice and polite. And then she goes in, and 15 minutes later, the manager of the event comes out and kicks us out. Now, not sure if those two events are related, Joanna arriving and us being ejected, but you know, you all can connect the dots if you want. And then I asked the gentleman, his name is Steve Westaby, I believe. It's the Happy Valley Foundation that puts on the festival. And I went in, and I said, can I see your permit, please? I need to see what areas you have direct control over, because I believe I'm allowed to be in the parking lot outside of the front perimeter. And he says, well, nobody's ever asked me for that. I said, well, it's an active event by permit, and you're supposed to have those available for inspection. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be posted. So he could not find it for me in his email, so I'm still waiting for that. So anyways, we were kind of unhappy being kicked out, but you know what? We did leave. We're not going to create any consternation, at least not on the spot. But I will be following up with that. make sure that he did not violate our First Amendment rights of assembly and speech by where we were located for petitioning. We've petitioned in this county before, right? Yes, we have. We have a pretty good idea when we can and can't be somewhere to petition lawfully and legally with or without permission. We have a pretty good idea. So, anyways, I'll follow up on that. Hey, and then election stuff. I think Patrick's read this already. Assembly Bill 331. The state is already getting ready to put in bills for elections and that are going to really, really tighten the noose around our necks in Shasta County. So I don't know if Patrick wants to talk about Assembly Bill 331, but the state's getting ready to take over, in case the registrars don't do anything the state approves of. Literally, the state will come in and take over the election. That's what it literally says. So anyways, unfortunately, probably more of those similar bills coming, unfortunately, that we're going to have to dodge and parry, right? It's like we're fencing. But anyway, so that's all I had. Unless you had any questions, I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and Rich, the Assembly Bill 331, I did read that, and it would not surprise me that Kathy Allen again has called down to Sacramento, and because Joanna has been picked over twice by the past board and by this board as the ROV, that was concerning enough, I suspect, for phone calls to be made. 331, Assembly Bill 331, it hasn't passed yet, but almost everything with elections does. And what that says, if the ROV county clerk does not certify the election, the Secretary of State will. So it strips the authority away from
the elected official.
From the official in the county. From saying, hey, we have an issue here, I'm not going to do it, there's been some issues, the Secretary of State's going to do it anyway. So at this point, we've seen this before with the board when we said we want to hand count and the state comes around and says no. So at this point, the state's just being rough, being riding roughshod over the board,
right?
And the ROV. And
so how can a state elected official overpower a local elected official? That would be the same thing as having the president overpower the governor.
Well, and unfortunately, with this one-party state that we have in California, they can pass anything they want. And, and they're retaliating against Shasta County. We want to have some control, some local control.
Right.
And they're retaliating against us almost at every time. In fact, sometimes we don't even like talking about certain issues because we know literally with another phone call down to Sacramento,
something's going
to
happen.
They're going to be working on another assembly bill in the dead of night.
And it's always by somebody that does not live in our area. They don't represent us.
Correct.
None of our representatives have ever done that. They've not fought for us, but they have not done that. It's always somebody from Southern California or the Bay Area or somewhere
right.
else.
These phone calls originate from Shasta County, probably,
right.
again, from our past election officials.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't go to our assembly people because they wouldn't push that at all.
Right.
They would
right.
be against that.
Right.
We want more local control, not Sacramento. but that's what Kathy Allen did to us when it came to hand counting and Joanna Franciscott. The board made a decision. It was the right decision. We're trying to have fair elections where people can have meaningful observation, and they go behind our backs. It was unknown to me that they were down in Sacramento lobbying a assemblywoman that was a former ROV to get this bill passed. And they did that. And in doing so, they misled, lied
yeah.
to the assembly, members of the assembly, as to the costs of those things.
Wow.
And then again, Joanna wonders why she's picked over twice.
Well, that's just one of the many reasons. The 175 emails that her name is scattered on.
Yeah, the Centers for Tech and Civic Life, that's another
yeah.
Breach of contract that was illegal. And both Kathy and Joanna's names were all over that.
And that's why I still don't understand why she's still an employee of the county. Because anybody else in the county that would pull something even parallel to that would have been fired. They would have lost their retirement. They would have lost everything. And I just still don't understand why she's still collecting a paycheck and has access to everything that's there.
Well, and I specifically asked when the board approved the counterproposal from the Centers for Tech and Civic Life, that was the $1.5 million grant. I'd asked our acting CEO, Mary Williams, if that had been accepted a month later, and she said, nope, haven't heard anything. Well, it was accepted, but it wasn't our counterproposal. They
wow.
had rewrote it on their own, and so we had a lot of people not being honest.
Right. Okay, we have another caller. Laura, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. This is Laura, and I had a couple of comments I wanted to make.
Okay.
Well, one is in regard to, you know, the different California state laws coming down from Sacramento, and the charter amendment is unique because it gives us a way out of that. Since we are a charter county, we have the ability to regain some of our sovereignty, and the election reform offers us great opportunities. We can continue to use this charter amendment. I know the state will continue to retaliate against us, but as it stands now, I want to encourage people. We'll be out in front of Walmart today collecting signatures between 11 and 2:30. And if you haven't yet signed our petition, we want to have one-day elections, same-day election results. We want to have voter ID and many other election reforms. You can find out more at SaveShastaElections.org. That's with an S, SaveShastaElections.org. Has all of our signing locations. We keep it pretty up to date, so if you want to figure out where to sign, if you can't make it out today, you can find it there at our website. And then in regards to the ongoing litigation, it's actually Ladd versus Toller. It doesn't have anything to do with the Shasta 5. Ladd versus Toller is a lawsuit that basically wrote itself. You know, the last election was a complete dumpster fire. We have affidavits from a number of people who spent hours just observing that last election and all the laws that were violated. And like Patrick said, I agree with him 100%. The county should not be wasting money on defending this right now. They're trying to get it dismissed. They've written two demurs and objections, and, you know, we're talking about a lot of hours that will be billed by BB&K to the county to defend a losing case. They need to just concede. We have our case that will be, we're going to have a demur hearing. It's this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. in room 63, Benjamin Hanna's courtroom. And after that, at 9 a.m. the same day, that's this Tuesday, the 27th. There'll be a status conference hearing. What we want is for them to set the case to go to trial so it can be heard based on its merits instead of just being dismissed outright, which is what the county is trying to do right now.
Well, there you go. So. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. We have another caller on the line. Joe, are you there, Joe? Hello, Joe?
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
You're on, Joe.
Hello?
You're live.
Okay.
Joe Bale.
All right. Hey, Patrick. I just want to remind you about the lawsuit that was won for the Shasta Fairgrounds. There were some people, I probably was one of them, that got threatened with arrest, got kicked out of the parking lot. We're told that they were going to put in a designated free speech zone. So that lawsuit was won, and that cost them some money. Just saying, if you're in a parking lot, pretty sure that's our right to do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, even the city of Reading, back when I was on council, they denied a group of people to hand out pocket constitutions by the library. That was the Prigmore case that now is very well known and was very very costly for the city. They violated people's First Amendment rights. An attorney warned them twice. They did not take action, and Tim Pappas sued the city, and it cost the city $285,000. But worse than that, what it did was the judge was pretty upset with what the city did, and then defined who could use public spaces, including the homeless. So if you wonder why the homeless camp out at the Reading Library, it's because of the Prigmore case and the city not listening and changing the First Amendment. And public spaces are just that. As long as you're not impeding people you know, are causing a disruption, you can be there. So, yeah, I'm sure the incident at West Valley will be discussed
well,
later.
And that's the beauty of some of these things, too. Like, the city is government property. The school is government property. The fairgrounds is state agency, again, government property. So those kind of things you're looking at with government agencies versus private property. Private property is a different animal altogether.
Correct.
So just everybody keep that in mind, too.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Tappas
won that case as well. I mean, it's just something to keep in mind.
You're right. You're right. Well, thank you for the information. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
And with regards to this lawsuit, the issues there, I would encourage people to read that lawsuit and look at the issues, because they're not wrong. Every single issue there, and our current ROV, Clint Curtis, has read that, and he agrees with it. He agrees that all of those issues that occurred were violations of law.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the county here is going to try to defend that and trying to get it thrown out, when in fact it's all true.
Right.
And so.
And keep in mind, he's an attorney, so he knows what he's looking for. He understands what he's looking at.
And especially in election specific.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so that'll be kind of interesting if it does go to trial and you have your current ROV saying, no, everything here in this suit is correct, the county's going to have a very weak case. So
right. This
Tuesday is going to decide it. And I suspect what Hannah will do, because I've seen this with most judges, they would rather not dismiss cases and rather have it be heard on their merits. That's what they would
most have. Judges.
Most judges. And so that's what I expect to have happen. We'll see come Tuesday.
Okay. Well, and the Board of Supervisors could always pull out of it too, right?
They could.
Would they not do that? Why would they not save face, save money, save frustration and angst by the citizens who elected them into those positions? Because they may not do that again if they keep pulling stunts like this.
One of the things that I've seen with this board with regards to elections, and I'm just going to narrow it down to elections, in that I don't think they're looking at the elections department the way that I would and the way that I did.
Mm-hmm.
All these departments, they come under the preview of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors.
Right.
They oversee all departments. They oversee the sheriff's department, the DA's office. They oversee the elections. They oversee.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they run the day-to-day operations.
Correct.
But they do oversee it, and they have some authority there, and they're not exercising that authority.
Right.
Well,
something as basic as walking through the old courthouse. Has the BOS done that as a group or individuals? Have they done that yet to see what's there, to kind of wrap their head around what they're seeing?
Right, and typically there, the CEO would take two at a time so that there's no, because public meeting laws and conflict, take two at a time and walk through. But again, you can lift something up or you can bury it, depending on what you want to do.
Right.
And all the issues, the real issues with the building isn't the real issue.
Right.
There are other things at play there. And I'm sure if you poke and push, you'll get to the truth. It always will come out sooner or later.
Right. But hopefully sooner than after the building's demolished.
At the county's
expense.
Right. Hopefully the case. It's really a stupid idea to get rid of that building.
When
we have so many leases, it does need a little fixing up, but that's within
all those leases can pay for it.
Easily, and then some. Especially if you put Health and Human Services in that, they have a very good budget. They can handle all those types of things very easily. So they're just not looking, I think.
Look at the budget, line item by line item, figure it out.
I think there's some, post-release programs that we could do there that would work very well with the jail to help reduce some of the overcrowding in the jail.
Right.
It's a good building. It's a solid building. One of my relatives through marriage built that building, Marion Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked on Shasta Dam. He was a great builder. He built a lot of stuff downtown, and it would really be a shame to get rid of that building. It's not as bad as they say. And again, the environmental issues are not an issue, because we're not changing major construction.
Right.
You're just taking out, partitions, and office spaces.
Well,
right?
With the $40,000 worth of damage now that needs to be fixed, they'll have to wear some hazmat.
And that's
to
a
fix
number
it.
I threw out there, because
right.
I don't know the real number, but it just kind of, it was aggravating to see
what they did
know,
to
some
it.
Of it, and then I find out that it's these guys that did the environmental work, and they were heavy-handed, so
wow.
Disappointing at least. But that is not a done deal yet. There's still time on that, and hopeful. And I know we only have a short time. Just a reminder, I still have a few tickets for the High Plains Shooting Sports Center.
Yep.
Anderson, VFW, 3210 West Center Street. It's on May 29th. Give me a call, Patrick Jones, 222-3223.
There you go. All right. Well, it looks like we're winding up right now. So thank you all for listening and support Patrick and his fundraiser and everything else that we've talked about. Time has come for 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working, it ain't handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance, we're the last.